A couple of weeks ago here in the far north, some of us were without power for 48 hours. Now, we know we live in the tropics. We know that we get a bit of wind sometimes, and so power lines come down. But there was a lot of talk, a lot of anger, in fact, that how in a city like Cairns, of our size, in a first world nation, how can we be without power for so long? And of course, that led to the perennial debate about ergon, the fact that in regional Queensland, here in North Queensland, we have no choice. We have no choice but to use ergon. They have a monopoly. And the government, in fact, the state government spends, get this, $462 million per year subsidising ergon so that we are able to have equitable power prices with those in the southeast. It's a big topic. Electricity power price is always a big topic for us here in the north. And one man that I was very keen to chat to about not just this immediate issue of blackouts and the ergon monopoly, but also some interesting developments, if you like, over the last couple of years in energy security and energy supply that are happening around the country. His name is Tony Wood. Now, Tony is the Energy Program Director from the Grattan Institute. He's been involved in energy policy, both at the Grattan Institute and in the private sector for many, many years. It's great to have him on the line. Tony, welcome to the King Review.
Hi, pleasure to be here. Thanks, Gavin.
Now, Tony, you lived in Queensland at one point, so you've got a fairly good understanding, in fact, both from a Queensland and a national perspective on the energy system. Can you just talk to us a little bit about ergon, your thoughts on ergon? As I said in the intro there, people have been talking about this. It's a perennial debate. We don't have any choice, particularly obviously at the retail level. We go with ergon and that's all we can do. Have you got any thoughts on whether it's possible to break that monopoly up? Should we break that monopoly up?
Well, Gavin, I guess I can understand why people get frustrated from time to time when lights go out and so forth. Then you've got to consider what is the realistic alternative. And one of the reasons that there is this subsidy you mentioned of hundreds of millions of dollars to even out the power costs across the state of Queensland. And Queensland nationally is a long strung out state in a sense, given relative to the other states. And that has certain implications in terms of how much it costs to move the power around. So most of the differential costs between, say, why does it actually cost more to get power into the far north, and to be fair, to the far west, than it does in the southeast, is because of those distances. And that therefore relates to the distribution cost and the transmission cost, the physical cost of getting electricity from where it's generated to where it's consumed. Mm. Now, I've got the electricity retailers, where we do have competition in the southeast of Queensland, other parts of the country, they don't have any responsibility for that. They just pay whatever the network charges would be. So if we simply introduce more retailers, that of itself wouldn't reduce that subsidy. It wouldn't reduce the cost. It might look like you've got more choice, but the question would be, well, what are you choosing between? Because they might, if you had, say, half a dozen retailers, they'd all be paying the same amount for the distribution costs in Cairns.
But isn't that how the private sector works, though, here, Tony, is that if you do have six options from a retailers and they want your business, yes, they all pay the same wholesale or distribution costs, but surely there's some benefits there for consumers, because certain companies will have lower overheads, they might not have a marketing department, they might not spend millions on advertising, but they'll chase your money. And so doesn't that lead, surely, to lower prices for consumers?
Look, it may at the margin. So I would think, personally, there's a very good argument to say, well, rather than have a monopoly for the retail side of the electricity supply in North Queensland, why not leave the monopoly side, which is the bit that physically makes sense to only have one supplier? That is, you don't want multiple people putting wires down your streets.
Leave that as
the monopoly, right, and allow retailers to compete. Now, I can see no good reason why you wouldn't do that, and the very idea that you put forward, Gavin, that they would then find new ways, innovative ways, maybe they'd integrate, solar with batteries and all those sort of things we hear about, they would introduce some of that flexibility that ergon sometimes does and maybe sometimes doesn't. So I think introducing retail competition would be a good idea, but I certainly wouldn't want to overstate it and wouldn't suggest that would eliminate the sort of hundreds of millions of dollars of subsidy you were talking about.
Is there anything else, Tony, you've got such a great helicopter view across the nation, is there anything else that can be done obviously, particularly in regional Queensland, keeping in mind those vast distances that you talk about, is there anything else that government or the private sector indeed can do? Is technology a way forward where we can reduce the cost of electricity and increase that competition, but also in a sense security of energy supply, where we don't have these long periods with blackouts year after year?
Yeah, look, there's two things we can do, and there's a bit of a two-edged sword here. So the reason I mentioned the sharp edge of the sword is that what we do know is that with a changing climate, and far north Queensland is absolutely one and a good example of it, with a changing climate, we are going to see more extreme weather events. That brings with it more violent storms and flooding and so forth, and that brings with it power lines going down. And so therefore, if anything, over the next little while, we're going to see more of those sorts of interruptions. Now, there are two broad things we can do. One relates to the existing system, and that is we can, as we are already doing, as ERGON's doing and other power network companies are doing around the country, we can be putting some of those power lines underground. It can be expensive, particularly if you're building long transmission lines, put them underground. But certainly around many suburbs these days, putting them underground is a good idea.
Well, that is a very good point. And it's something that I need to follow up with ERGON, is to find out what percentage of Cairns and surrounding areas do have underground power. It's a very good point. And what are they doing, as you said, over coming years to move towards that underground power? So that's a very good point. I'll follow that up.
So that's the first point. The second point is, in some ways, not to have those power lines at all. Now, what I mean by that is, and this comes back to your point about technology, what I mean by that is that I'm sure there'd be many of your listeners would have solar PV on their roof. Some of them may even have batteries in their homes or small businesses, and they use that to store their own electricity. Now, very few of them, if any, I suspect, in the major regions of Cairns would be disconnected from the grid. However, as with other parts of the country, in regional North Queensland, there would be consumers who are off the grid, and they would have solar PV, possibly batteries, and possibly a small generator, just to make sure they get out of trouble when they have when the wind isn't blowing or the sun isn't shining. Now, that model can be used not just at the individual household level, where it could be quite expensive, but it could be used for what's called mini grids, and that is when you've got regional towns which are possibly connected by long transmission lines, which are prone to going out in either floods or fires, which is unfortunately the nature of our country. Being independent of that system is not necessarily a bad idea these days, because the cost of renewable energy, wind and solar, and the cost of battery storage has come down and continues to come down so dramatically that you can afford to do that and potentially think about being disconnected from the grid.
So now, how does that, the mini grids, that's fascinating. I love the idea of it. Could you just quickly, we're running out of time, but just quickly explain how would that work? Is it, if my neighbours all have solar and batteries, do we join forces? And in that sense, can you just run us through that?
Could be done either way, Gavin. It could be done by a company like ERGON. It could be done by another company that's not ERGON, and that would obviously require some changes in ERGON's regulatory obligations. And finally, it could be done by the community itself. So there's no particular reason, and this is going right back to the beginning of energy supply in this country, there's no particular reason why a local community, through their councils or through their community groups, couldn't band together and invest in this sort of system. Now, there's a lot of things to be thought about. In different ways, in different parts of Australia, there are people who are already exploring these sort of opportunities, looking for ways in which they can use technology, be less dependent upon the grid and less dependent upon energy companies, who some of them would see as being evil organisations. Most of them are not, of course. But that's where, there's lots of alternatives here, and I think exploring those opportunities is something that absolutely we should be thinking about doing.
That's incredible. I'm sure we could talk more about that, but we are out of time. I love that concept, the mini grids, and I think there's some work to do. As you said, maybe it's Cairns Regional Council. Has a look at some examples that you touched on there, that there are examples around Australia, and they're working. I assume they've been up and running for a couple of years. So that's a fascinating jumping off point. Tony Wood, thank you so much for being on the King Review.
You're welcome. Thank you.